Well, there are a lot of stereotypes that go along with the concept of a midlife crisis, aren't there? Maybe it's the guy who buys a red sports car, or maybe starts dating a younger woman, or maybe it's the woman reevaluating her relationships and feeling dissatisfied with her life. Or perhaps it's just people in general who start to feel a little dissatisfied at work. Maybe they want a career change, or they're going to change jobs or embark on a totally different career. You've heard these stereotypes, yes. Whatever the case may be, the stereotypes point to the experience of a person feeling lost and trying to find the path again. Now, before I go any further, I must admit that I chose this topic in part because I am really curious about it right now in my life. Lately, when I am still and quiet long enough to notice, I've been experiencing quiet rumblings within, subtle feelings of fear accompanied by flashes of truth about my own mortality. And I believe contemplating one's own mortality is a part of this thing we know of as a midlife crisis. So I've been curious lately. I've been curious about some new feelings and thoughts that I'm having as I approach midlife, but I'm also a little terrified that they might escalate, get out of control, and I might find myself in a few years with a sports car that I can't afford. And I don't even drive stick shift, so this is really trying to do myself a favor here. Plus, I've been through transitions before, and I don't care to repeat the quarter-life crisis that I had in my early to mid-20s. I'm trying this time to head into it with a little more intentionality. I'm trying to be a little more gentle with myself this time around. Have you guys all heard about the quarter-life crisis? No. No way. This is such a thing. So it is a newer concept than the midlife crisis, but just as consequential, I would argue, as I found out about it in my early 20s. Because the transition from young adulthood to adulthood is stressful, always has been. And in particular, you have to figure out who you are, what kind of person you want to become, what kind of work suits you, what kind of partner suits you, what kind of friends you might want to have, and how in the world to make all of that happen and pay for it, which is just a lot of pressure. So the quarter-life crisis hit me when I was 23. I'd graduated from college and I had absolutely no idea what to do with myself. It went on for a few years and I tried a lot of different things, fumbled around, and I am grateful to say that I thankfully got through it. Things are fine, but I suspect that I could have been a little bit more patient and a little bit more kind to myself. I was experiencing stress and anxiety, but I was far too busy proving myself to actually pay attention or address what was going on. So here we are. If I could go back now and say something to my 23-year-old self, I think I would encourage her to slow down, to breathe, to pay attention. And then I would tell her, what you are experiencing are growing pains. Growing pains. They're not permanent, but they are necessary for your growth. So hang in there, for this too shall pass, and you will be fine. And now, at 36, I can't help but wonder what my future self might come back and tell me right now today, because I could probably use to hear it. Some version of the same thing, maybe? What you are feeling, Rebecca, is growing pains. It's all right. Feelings aren't permanent, but they are necessary for your growth. So hang in there. So what do you think? Is this a helpful frame for aging? This growing pains concept I came up with? Just nod. Just say yes. Yes, it's amazing. You're so smart. It worked for me, but maybe it doesn't work for you, but I would like us to think today about approaching the aging process a little differently, approaching it with curiosity and compassion and less fear and resistance. Because across all seasons and cycles of our lives, whether it's midlife or quarter life or three-quarter life, let me add that one in there too, Whatever it is, what if we could look at aging not as a crisis at all, but as an ever-unfolding opportunity for new growth? A chance to journey deeper into the truth of who we are and who we are called to be. In the poem Santiago by David White, which we just heard, he was writing for his niece Marlene, who at 23 had just graduated from college and then completed the Camino de Santiago, the popular pilgrimage and spiritual journey of hundreds of miles across France and Spain that ends at the tomb of St. James in northwest Spain. This journey has to be done on foot. It can take 30 days or more of continuous walking. At the end of the journey in Santiago, you can continue on past the city to the cliff's edge overlooking the ocean. And here, according to White, there are three rituals that one must do. First, you contemplate the scallop shell. The scallop shell has been the symbol on all of the signs of your journey. It's been accompanying you along the way. So in other words, you contemplate the journey behind you, and you reflect on the question of how did I get here? That's the first thing. Second, you burn a letter that either you brought with you or that you write right there at the side of the cliff. I imagine a lot of these are love letters to the self. And as you burn them, there is some release of the old ways and an invitation to the new post-Santiago self. And third, you leave an item of clothing at the cliff's edge, something that helped you on the journey. Marlene, David White's niece, said that she left her hiking boots, the very thing that had gotten her along the path. So you make the journey, you do the rituals, and then what? And then what? What happens next, after you've arrived at your destination and completed the things you intended to do? Perhaps it is in these moments, when we find ourselves at our places of arrival, the places that long glittered on the horizon with the allure of destination and captured our attention, perhaps it is these moments when we can start to feel like we're in crisis, questioning things, suddenly uncertain about where to go from here. Because in these moments, maybe you've graduated from high school, graduated from college, found a job, found a partner, raised the kids, retired, built the business. Whatever the goal was, you've achieved it, and there you are. And now what? Our identities can get so wrapped up in that stuff, the external indicators of success, the goals that we carry and focus on with so much to prove and so much competency and mastery to demonstrate, especially in early life. So no wonder our lives can unfold as though they are on a trajectory to some concrete destination. And why not? We get rewarded for that, achieving things and looking like we have it together. As if all along you thought the end point might be a city with golden towers and cheering crowds. It's easy, after all, to be seduced by this concept of arrival. There is, of course, nothing wrong with having goals and achieving them. I wish that for all of us. But I'm simply wondering what happens when you arrive. When suddenly the glittering goal is a concrete reality, the shine wears off, and there you are without a path, without a direction anymore. White's niece said that there, alone on the cliff's edge, past the city of Santiago, past the destination with its alluring beauty, cheering crowds and throngs of locals selling you mementos about your journey, she unexpectedly realized that her journey was far from over. Looking out at her own reflection across the Atlantic Ocean, she realized that she still had to face herself. She realized that no, there is no clear path forward at this point, just the never-ending ocean, But she knew somehow she had to keep on walking out across the sea into the unknown future, deeper into relationship with herself. With herself. Is this a crisis? When you arrive at the end of what you know and had planned on? It doesn't have to be. It's scary, but here, gazing out at your gorgeous reflection, is the opportunity for spiritual growth. Maybe you're there right now. Maybe you're standing at the edge of your knowledge and all your plans. Or maybe you will find yourself there someday. But whenever the day comes when you can no longer comprehend the path forward, see if you can let go and trust. Trust that you are not lost. Trust that in going forward, there will be ground to stand on, that you will not lose yourself or your identity, not even close. Trust that you will create a new, more authentic self, blazing the trail as you go, walking deeper into the heart of who you are and who you are called to be with every step. And when you've done that, see if you can practice gratitude. Thank yourself for doing something so difficult, and then try to get comfortable with that process because you're going to do it again. The process of creating and recreating yourself is one that is ongoing over and over again across our lifetimes. It's a skill you will need time and time again as you age and travel across all of life's various transitions. As your life unfolds and unravels, and calls you along. I caught the phrase unraveling in connection with aging from Brené Brown. She wrote an essay which describes the aging process specifically in midlife, not as a crisis, she says, but as a slow unraveling. A crisis, she points out, indicates a finite, specific thing with a specific solution. Get a new job. Get a new car. But aging and facing yourself is something different. She says, this is not something you can treat and then dismiss. The search for self-love and acceptance is like most of the new ailments that hit at midlife. It's a chronic condition. It may start at midlife, but we have to deal with it for the rest of our lives. In other words, we have to, or maybe I should say we get to, recreate and reinvent ourselves. How cool is that? How cool is that? I would like to think that as we age and get to know ourselves better, this process will nudge us closer and closer to our authentic, true self, calling us along all through our lives. We've talked a little bit about young adulthood, the quarter-life crisis, and adulthood, the midlife crisis. There's the three-quarter-life crisis. I'm not sure that's actually a thing, but I thought I would throw it in here too, because there is the transition from being in midlife to being an elder. That moment when maybe it's the moment when you're entering retirement years. There's a whole lot of challenges that face that transition. As we transition out of full-time work, become grandparents, maybe it's when you become a great-grandparent, caring for aging parents, losing parents, all of the rest that accompanies that third quarter of life. It's not a crisis, right? It's an opportunity. We have an opportunity again to create something new, a new identity, more true and more real than it ever has been before. For each time we face ourselves and gaze into our own reflection, we keep getting closer and closer to our truth and to the person we are called to be in this world. So what a blessing it is to age. What a blessing it is to get closer and closer to your true essence. What a blessing it is to be in relationship with yourself and journey back to yourself across a lifetime. White's niece set out on a journey at 23, she said, to find herself. At the end of the journey, facing the great unknown, she could have felt panic, like I did at that age, like a crisis was happening. But instead, she chose to see it as an opportunity for growth and self-discovery. She chose to face it not with fear or denial, but with gratitude and an openness to rebirth and renewal. This is the aging process I wish for all of us, at whatever stage of life we're in, a joyful process of growth and rebirth. So let us be reborn in every phase of life. Let us bravely face the unknown time and time again as we journey back to the self, the one without walls, without the fear, or any of the things we adopted in early life that served us for a time, but are no longer necessary. Let us turn towards the process of aging with openness and curiosity. As Joan Chittister says of midlife, this is the time to begin to think of higher matters than looking 10 years younger than we are, wonderful as that can be. We must begin to attend to the inner self now. These years are for allowing the interior life, our continuing questions, our lifelong interests to direct what we do and who we are. Gentle people, aging is not a crisis, it's an opportunity for growth. As you approach every transition in your life and enter a new phase, may you love yourself enough to take your own hand and walk bravely past the point, bravely past the path, past what you can see and what you know. May you trust yourself and the process enough to keep going. May you treat yourself with enough kindness and compassion to ease the places where it hurts. May you slow down when necessary and allow your soul to catch up with your body. And may you grow and never stop flourishing, for the world is calling you to be radiant. The universe is calling you to live fully and joyfully at every stage. You are called to be the only person who can be you. No one else can do this one for you. So may your truth come alive, and may you live life to the absolute fullest. May this be so. Amen, and blessed be.